We were not given enough information. No way, no way would I have approved that bathroom being put where it's put, at the very entrance to Admiral Mason Park. That, and it was a beautiful vegetated area there. And if you all haven't seen it, you need to go over there and see it. You will be in shock.
So this is obviously, that's Sherry Myers, very distinctive voice at the agenda review conference on Monday for the Pensacola City Council. They're having their actual city council meeting tonight. There is almost certainly going to be an add-on item to do whatever they can do to stop the process, hold the presses on this installation of the mobile restroom trailer at Veterans Memorial Park on the north side, right at the entrance to the actual Admiral Mason Park. In fact, that's one of the key issues here, is that it is on that line of the property. It is not on Veterans Memorial Park. I did an interview with the mayor yesterday. We talked about this extensively. I've been a supporter of the project. It got an impact grant. But having talked with a bunch of people yesterday, first of all, I'm not happy with how I handled the interview with the mayor. I was not fair and objective, and I try all the time to do that, and it's my fault. So I'm trying to rectify that today. We're going to talk to Ed Fleming. He is the attorney for the Citizens for the Preservation of Admiral Mason Park. They're the group that is pushing for some other solution as opposed to this one. He joins us now. Ed, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there were a lot of things that the city council was bothered by, including the source of the funding, where it came from, and what they thought was locked away money. That's not the issue that concerns you guys primarily. Your objection is that the process wasn't followed, right?
That is correct. And you know, the process is critical here because this project is in the Gateway Redevelopment District, which the city council, the legislative body, you know, of the city, said the purpose of that Gateway Redevelopment District is, and I quote, to promote the orderly redevelopment of the southern gateway to the city in order to enhance its visual appearance, preserve a unique shoreline vista, improve traffic safety, and encourage a high quality of site planning and architectural design. Site-specific analysis of each development proposal within the Gateway District is intended to ensure that the scenic orientation and open space image of the Bayfront Parkway is maintained, the development character of the Chase-Gregory Corridor is upgraded, and the boundary of the adjacent historic district is positively reinforced. Now, that is the purpose of the Gateway Redevelopment District. This project is in the Gateway Redevelopment District. It had to comply with that. There has been no site-specific analysis. There's been no site plan. There's been no landscape architect who has presented this. There have been no architects who have said this blends in with the purpose of the Gateway Redevelopment District. All the processes have been run, have been ignored. Now, one thing we know is that a city government has to abide by its own rules. It's not exempt from its own rules. Each development proposal means each development proposal. But none of that was done here, and so it needs to be done. So the only purpose of this group that I represent, which comprises of five residents, three of whom are veterans, including a war veteran from the Bosnian conflict, one of whom is a founding member of Impact 100, and the other of whom is an architect and a former member of city council. That group has one goal, and that is to enforce the Gateway Redevelopment District's objects and to enforce the rules and regulations that govern everyone within the city, whether they're a church, synagogue, loaves and fishes. No matter how admirable their goal is, they still have to abide by the rules, which include submission of architectural plans, landscaping plans to the planning board, which was not done.
And that's, you know, there's a lot of details in the background of this particular issue. One of the key details is that the portable restroom that is being, you know, was proposed and is kind of in the process, but that's the issue, is actually going to sit on Admiral Mason Park land as opposed to on Veterans Memorial Park land. And all of the documentation regarding the proposal and even what city council voted on refers to Veterans Memorial Park. And it might only be, you know, 100 feet, but it's still a land issue. And so now you're talking about public land that is under the Gateway District and going through those processes. Now, the mayor has said, you know, look, city council voted on this. But, of course, you heard Sherry Myers and others say, we didn't know what we were voting on. They say they didn't know the location. They hadn't seen the plans. There's a lot of, you know, that kind of consternation over this. What does your group want to see? Because I think we all want to see restroom facilities at Veterans Memorial Park. I mean, having that would be a tremendously useful amenity. That's why I was so in favor of this plan from the beginning, and I love that Impact vetted it and gave them their permission. But what does your group want to see, if not this portable trailer on that particular plot of land?
What we want to see is the process followed for vetting the architectural plans, landscaping plans for restroom facilities. We would love to see more restroom facilities in the downtown area. We don't have enough. But let me make this very clear, is this proposal doesn't create restroom facilities for the use of citizens in the park. This is a facility that's only open as determined by a private entity who has the key to it, and their stated intention is only to open it during special events that they sponsor. So it's going to be locked most of the year. You and I can't use it while we're walking through the park or walking our dog or jogging or whatever. It's going to be a locked facility. So when you say it's a temporary restroom facility, a toilet trailer is the best description for it, a temporary toilet trailer, well, it's got a temporary use, but it's got concrete pad. It's got tearing up the streets and putting in a sewer line. That has a degree of permanency to it. But the use is the only thing that's temporary. Now we have multiple festivals in this community throughout the year. We have the Seafood Festival, the Art Festival. There has to be a dozen of them. Well, how do they handle bathroom needs during those festivals? Well, they get an event permit, and they have porta-potties that are brought in. You've seen them. You've gone to the Seafood Festival, and they line the street. And after the event's over, they're taken away so that they don't create an eyesore year-round for temporary use. This is going to be an eyesore year-round for temporary use. Why, if you're going to use it on a temporary basis, why not bring in porta-potties for the temporary use? Now, that's the event that's before us right now. Should the city look at having permanent bathroom facilities available to all citizens in the park or in that vicinity of the park? Yes, we think so. But that's a separate issue. Right now we're looking at a permanent eyesore for temporary use controlled by a private entity, not for public use.
As I said, this is going to be an add-on item to tonight's city council agenda or city council meeting. So if you're interested in this issue, whether you're a member of Impact, whether you're a user of the park, whether you're a citizen who lives in that area, and you just want to have your say or at least find out what they're doing, again, that is tonight's meeting at 5:30 at City Hall. Ed Fleming is the attorney for the citizens for the preservation of Admiral Mason Park. Ed, as always, thank you for the time this morning, and thanks for your perspective, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.